Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks with Wall Street Reporter. And today I am speaking with Jim Henry. He's the CEO of Henry Brothers Electronics, which trades on NASDAQ. The stock symbol is HBE. Jim, welcome.
Thank you.
So, you know, why don't we start off by you telling us about your company's unique focus in the security industry?
Well, we are a security systems integrator, and our mission statement is that we enable our client companies to provide a secure environment by protecting people, assets, and critical infrastructure. And you can note that within that mission statement, there's no discussion of any particular brand or product or technology, and that is intentional in that the true venue of a security systems integrator is as a product and a technology agnostic solutions provider. And that truly is the differentiating value added that we bring in 59 years of experience of having applied this this trade here in electronic security and having developed relationships with end user clients, many of which have now existed for you know, for decades.
Okay, so as an example, who would be a typical, you know, customer of yours, and what exactly do you do for them?
Be a little careful with that, because about half of our customer base is in the public sector. We do a lot of work in the New York area where our corporate office is, with the Port Authority and the MTA and what have you. And, you know, can't get into too many specifics of what we do with physical security other than to say that it encompasses all of the typical technologies that the public would understand, you know, access control and video and all the other specialty disciplines, you know, underneath those larger umbrellas. And that also the same types of products and services on the commercial sector with property management companies. Silverstein Properties is one notable that we've provided services for many, many years, and many know, you know, of Larry and his history with the Port Authority with the Twin Towers. And you know, in addition to building management or property management, we're also in the pharmaceutical vertical market and the manufacturing and distribution vertical markets, hospitals, healthcare in general as a growth area. So we've done a pretty good job in providing, you know, not only vertical market differentiation but also a geographic differentiation with the offices that we have either grown or established through acquired through mergers and acquisitions, you know, in the 7 years since we went public back in 2001.
Okay, so essentially, so you have some pretty blue chip customers. Now, the company is primarily based in the New York area. Now, do you also, how much of your business is outside of the East Coast?
We've grown to started in northern New Jersey, you know, back in 1950, and we're resident here with just the one office in North Jersey. In those years, it was in Paramus, from 1950 through the through around 1990. In 1995, we acquired our first, as a private company, acquired an office in Dallas, Texas, to support growing business with Motorola and their strong footprint that they had, you know, down in Texas, you know, in those days. And after going public in 2001, we've executed around seven or eight acquisitions that have given us a national footprint of like nine offices and six market regions. The New Jersey office is still our corporate headquarters. We have a satellite in Lower Manhattan, and then we're also located in Baltimore, Washington, Dallas-Fort Worth area, three offices in Colorado, one in Phoenix, and one in Southern California between L.A. and San Diego.
Okay. Now, you're doing roughly around $60 million in revenues right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How big is the overall market, you know, in the security integration space?
Oh,
in the U.S.?
The security integration space, a lot of the references for this market can be found in SDM Magazine, which is, one of the popular journals that tries to quantify this space. And, it's been it's a little tough to segment because you've got crossover between the electronic security and locks and guard services and alarms and whatnot. But it's a generally held principle that's in the, 40 billion plus. Category for that business that is in our sweet spot, and the the growth that we've had, steady growth that we've had has either mirrored or outpaced what the industry has done in general. It's been the physical electronic security industry has been a year over year growth industry for the past 20 years. Many have called it recession proof. This recession will be a good test of that. And but in fact, I went to a conference in my industry in November, really right at the height of the concerns over where the economy was going. And the assessment at that point in time is that there will be a couple of sectors in physical security like retail and property management and whatnot that'll take it on the chin a little harder than the others. But overall, it was still expected at that point that that the security industry as a whole would still continue to expand. We haven't obviously seen numbers for where 2009 ends up, but there are still some strong sectors here, particularly on the public side, and it's tough yet to measure how strong that will become, aided by the spending in Washington, since the stimulus packages and bills and whatnot, really haven't percolated through to the point where the money is getting out into the field yet. But expectations are that that is coming, and that will be a positive for our industry.
Now, what differentiates Henry Brothers from the competition in the space?
Specialized skill set in the technologies that I discussed earlier, particularly video and analytics and the newer technologies, many software-based technologies, and the integration of those technologies and systems together. I mean, that's on the technical side what differentiates us, but equally important, if not even more important, is our experience in these vertical markets, understanding the customer bases in those vertical markets, and being a solutions provider to them. So we are well adept at putting ourselves in their position, assessing their requirements, and identifying and providing, implementing and then supporting those technologies in order to address the needs they have from a security and control perspective. That is really what differentiates us also from contractors, whether they be general contractors or electrical contractors, some projects of which, pull in entities in those classifications. But, they are more about just a supply and delivery to what has been defined, by a third party, more blue hat work or construction work, whereas our skill set is understanding the application of the products and technologies, working with the customer to maximize or value engineer their application, implementing them, and then supporting them after the installation.
Okay. Now, how about can you give us, maybe share with us your background and some of the key members, of your management team?
Well, my background is, my dad and his brother started this business back in 1950 as a television service company when they got out of the service in the end of World War II, and developed the business over to the commercial side of television in those days in the 50s and 60s, and then eventually expanded into other areas of telecommunications and electronics. That was augmented by a tight partnership that they had with Motorola in those days, as Motorola was expanding their conventional, two-way radio land mobile business, and we were involved in the two-way radio as well as all of the other types of systems that Motorola had engaged in those days, including, hospital communications. And then in the middle 80s, it was the opportunity came for the brothers to sell the business, and I had joined in 78, having gotten a double E degree, and was working in the systems group, which was basically the infancy of physical security in that time in the middle 80s. And After the sale, within a couple of years, I saw that the company that had acquired us, didn't share my vision of the growth opportunities within physical security. So, led a reacquisition of the name and just that physical security electronic group within the business, which I think we were doing about $10 million or so in annual revenues when the business was sold in '85, and reacquired a division doing less than $1 million in '89. And then grew that up through the 90s, eventually going public in 2001. And then, again, with the acquisitions and organic growth that I mentioned, brought us to the $62 million in sales that we had this past year.
So essentially, you've taken the security business from about $1 million in the early 90s?
89, yeah.
89, okay. So $1 million, it's a pretty good growth rate.
Well, we certainly think we've made some good decisions, and we think we have a good legacy to build on. But we're also fortunate to be in a growth industry. I guess fortunate and unfortunate, as a citizen. Unfortunately, though, security is a need that nobody can see going away for for decades to come. And we did recognize that that was a need that we could fulfill, and had the years of experience from our radio literacy and the electronics expertise that we had gained when it was a privately owned family business, and applied that to what we saw as the commercial opportunities going forward, and have benefited from our decisions, as well as the overall growth of this industry. And of course, the event of 9/11 really brought home the need for these systems at a very large level on the public sector, and I think that was a wise decision on our part to groom the company in talent, personnel, focus, expertise, and whatnot to be able to provide solutions for those larger public sector projects, as well as traditional commercial projects.
Who are some of your other key management team members?
Brian Reach is my president and chief operating officer, and he came aboard originally as an outside director in 2003, and then when Irv Witkowski retired in end of 2006, came aboard as the took over the presidency and chief operating officer position. And Brian comes from the financial industry and has been very instrumental in bringing in some of the operations and controls and whatnot that you need, obviously, as you grow from a family-owned business on up to north of $50 million, and with aspirations to continue our growth going forward, you need that level of diligence. John Hopkins is our chief financial officer. He's been here for 3 years or so as well. Brian had brought him in, to again build the foundation here for the ability to scale the company going forward. Dave Fitzgerald is our director of business development. Dave joined us back in 07 and has been driving a lot of the national initiatives and partnerships with key suppliers. And Chris Peckham is our chief information officer. Chris is an electrical engineer, PhD, that brings a tremendous dimension of IT literacy and convergence, to the engineering team going forward. And last but certainly not least is Emil Marone, who's our chief technology officer, who's been with the company now 44 years, dating back to my dad's dynasty. And I think based on Emil's energy, he's got another 44 left in him.
Okay. So, what was the size of the company at the time of your IPO in revenue?
$11 million.
$11 million. Okay. So, it's kind of interesting that I think it's actually been a brand. All the company's sort of history is about 60 years old. The company as it exists now has only been around since around 89, 90 or so, right?
Well, you actually have three distinct time frames here. You've got the privately owned family business from 1950 to 1985. Then excepting for the brief stint, owned by the other public company that bought us, that was actually in the telephone software management business. When we reacquired the business privately from 89 to 2001, that was basically a regrowth of the private business within physical security as a specialty, not mixed in with all the two-way radio. And then, this last stage, as a public company from 2001 going forward.
Right. So I think it's kind of, I think from an investor's perspective, what I'm interested in is that, Henry Brothers is actually, it's really a growth story because really the company's gone from, the $10 million in, 2001 to, 60 million and, plus today.
Right.
So now where do you see Henry Brothers, let's say 3, maybe even 5 years from now?
When we went public in 2001, as an $11 million company, that was pre-Sarbox, and we knew we were in the right place at the right time with the right customer base and a growth industry. But of course, we believed that, growing the business, which we foresaw in the ensuing, 5 years or so, beyond 50 million would take us into a mid-cap and a lot more attention from the investing public. At that time, nobody really foresaw all the changes that were going to happen on the street, quite honestly, mid-caps are now, $250 million rather than $50 million. So, kind of raised the bar for us, but, we knew we were in a growth industry and our intentions are to scale the business, to those levels. So, that's really the only change. We recognize we just have to slug it out a little bit longer, getting north of 100 million, start to get some attention from the investing community and the institutional investors. And, have continued on that course, trying to work with, the economy and the opportunities on the M&A side and through that process. But, that's our objective going forward, is to continue this growth, to continue to expand our footprint, to continue to expand our reputation as, having a national footprint of a highly skilled workforce that is sought after by end users, as well as some of the big DoD primes, like L3 and Lockheed and whatnot, that can go out and win some of these multi-hundred-million-dollar projects, many of which are on the public sector side now, fueled by the increasing of government spending, but they need a means by which to deliver, on those projects, and that's where, that we bring value. So, as becoming a public company and scaling the business, north of 50 million enables us to take on larger projects in the 10 to 20 million dollar category as a prime, or to be a subcontractor to the big, to the big DODs on the multi-hundred-million-dollar opportunities.
Okay. Now, what is your strategy for growth? Is it? How much of a part does do acquisitions play in your growth strategy?
Well, obviously they play a pretty big part. We've made 6 or 7 acquisitions. We have and we started out small, recognizing that the true cost of an acquisition is not the cost of the acquisition, but the cost of integrating those acquisitions into your major operations. So, we started out with some small ones in 2002, 2003, and then have, as we've built the management team and our experience in integrating those in, have increased the size of the acquisitions that we've made, and are continuing to look for opportunities. Quite honestly, in this market, it creates even more opportunities in that space. But it's a measure of, looking at, how much, dilution or liquidity and whatnot, some of those transactions will require. And keeping an eye on the, how much we want to reserve for working capital, should we have the good fortune of, landing some of these larger projects. So it's a balance, and it's, like anything else in life, timing is everything. So it's, you're looking for companies with the right culture and the right footprint, at the right time where, 1 + 1 can be equal to 3 or 4. So, the pace at which we pursue them going forward, will be a function of that timing and those opportunities. But, overall, the philosophy is that M&A will continue to be, part of our growth strategy.
Okay. And how has the integration of these deals, how has that worked out so far?
Well, that's really coming into its stride now. Again, with the management team that I mentioned, we've now put put forth some significant accounting controls, as well as information sharing, centralized engineering, and whatnot. So the integration of those eight or nine offices, depending on how you classify the satellites, into one operating company that looks very similar to particularly national customers, whether they're dealing with my California office or Phoenix or Colorado or what have you, was key. And with the personnel that we have in place and with the systems that we now have in place, it's going to be much less traumatic integrating in new acquisitions going forward, because the systems and operations, the policies, the procedures, and whatnot are, have already been time tested with the acquisitions that we've made so far.
Okay, now Jim, does Wall Street completely understand your stock, and if not, what is it that they're missing? Sorry.
Well, I don't really think Wall Street understands our sector. We're not a construction company. We're not a service company, and we're not a technology provider. There were times where Wall Street was enamored with some of the new technologies that was coming out, in our industry, intellectual property per se. Like biometrics and what have you, and the challenge is that yes, a particular technology or whatnot could have some great upside potential, but it's still a question, when those come out, as to which one is going to be embraced by the industry, the consultants, and whatnot, and will those will the end users, even though you're coming out with a solution or a solution looking for a problem, will they be motivated, to spend the money to deploy those systems? So there's good upside on the product side, but, there's a lot of risk. What I think that we bring is upside potential in a growth industry as a solutions provider, but as a product and technology agnostic systems integrator, we don't have that kind of same kind of risk as the product side, because we have the ability to pick best in class of products and technologies, and as those developments come out in our industry, we can add them to our repertoire of solutions and whatnot to provide our customers. The common denominator is that the ethic of customer service and support and follow up and what have you that existed during my dad's day in the 50s and 60s, still applies today. Granted, the technologies have changed and the systems have changed, but understanding that is preeminently what our responsibility is customer support, and to be a trusted advisor that assists our end users as to which types of products and systems to be deploying, so that they're not wasting an investment today because a year and a half from now it becomes outdated or extinct, is really the legacy that we've built over the decades, and what we look to continue to point to as our differentiation.
All right. Now, finally, let me ask you, what are the reasons that you would personally give investors why they should consider Henry Brothers stock?
Well, as I said, I think we have we're in a good growth area. We've got a proven track record of providing quality customer service and growth. We have a less downside risk because we're not tied to any particular product or technology. We are diversified geographically. We are diversified in vertical markets. We are embracing and leading in the in outfitting ourselves to be able to benefit from the convergence of IT and physical security, which many legacy physical security companies are having a difficult time with. The benefit of being one of the larger systems integrators, we were just recognized as the 14th largest integrator in the country by SDM Magazine, is that we can amortize across our offices some of the costs, that I mentioned on the senior management team or the engineering team, that gives us, an ability to pursue more efficiently larger projects that many smaller companies can't afford to have that kind of skill set on board for. And conversely, the big DODs it's really not their core business. So, you know, again, although they can land it, you know, they need a means of execution. So we think we fit that nice spot in between, and there's plenty of growth opportunity yet in, you know, in this sector and in this industry going forward.
Okay, great. Well, Jim, thank you for joining us, and I'm sure our audience looks forward to following your progress, you know, in the months ahead.
Okay, thanks, Jack.